Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
All right, so let's pray. Lord, I just ask that today you help us be free and open with our worship. God, that any distractions that we have are gone, that we are only here to focus on you, God. That if there's anything that's bothering and troubling our soul, Lord, that you help to still and quiet it so that it is only focused on you, God. Because when we focus on you, there is peace and there is joy. So let us have peace and joy in our worship. Let us hear that word today, Lord, and let us just take that in and use it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." We serve a mighty God. A very mighty God. And I really love this song because it's a great resting place. It's just one of those songs that naturally leads you to a place of just like, I could just sit here in the presence of God forever, right? And that's the thing. I think some people don't quite understand the meaning of this song because they think we're just satisfied where we are. But when we realize the greatness of the God we serve, we realize that everything that we need is taken care of in that place, in Him, right? See, knowing the importance of Him in our life can be such a key, because knowing that the only place we need to go and be satisfied is to Him is important. He's the only one that has the power to fix things, change things, break chains, tear down walls, love, place things in your life that you need in your life, take things out that you need taken out. See, He's the one. We come up here and we worship and we allow the Spirit to flow. But you, see, He's running after you all the time. All the time. You're important to Him. Whew, I can feel this. It's a little harsh, but how important is He to you? How much time do you spend in your day with Him? How much time do you spend thinking about Him? Right? Because see, He's ready and willing. He's always there waiting to pour it all in. See, He's never withholding. Just like He mentioned in there, I'm ready. But we gotta come to Him. We can't keep doing this wavering, right? Of back and forth. God, I trust you. But now that something's gone, going on, I don't know if I trust. I'm a little nervous. No, see, regardless of what's going on, it should always be that we look at Him. Because, man, what a God, what a God. He's the only one that can touch every single aspect of our lives. He is alive, living, and moving in our lives, but you gotta be willing to let Him. See, we hold on to this life so tight sometimes that we don't even realize what could be happening if we just let go and let Him do it. He tells us that he will never leave us or forsake us. So you don't have to worry when you're putting it in his hands. Even if you feel like, okay, God, I put it in your hands, but it's not really turning out the way I thought it would. That's okay. Because just like that scripture, trials will produce patience. Patience will produce, oh, so much more, I guarantee. Because it's important for you to learn to put your faith in him. In him for everything. Every aspect, the small things, the big things, it doesn't matter what it is. He's got it in his hands. He's not going to leave you. And he's not going to just throw it all away. He's doing things in favor of you.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to come and see you all. As we were worshiping, the Lord gave me this scripture. And it comes to my heart, and I'm sure it will come to yours, because all these songs are basically saying this word. So he led me to Proverbs 3:5. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own estimation, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil." That's all he's calling us to do. Turn away from everything, all the darkness of the world, and just focus on him and trust him in everything, and he will make your way. Amen.
Already have it all. Amen. Do you already have it all? Yeah. I already have it all. You're going to hear me sing. Is it running? Is it working? Yeah, it's on? Okay. I already have it all. Amen. The Bible says that, the Word of God says that God has given us all things, everything, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Is that right? We already got it all. Amen. He's already given it to us. It's already within us. How many believe that? How many believe that what God has given you, it's already in you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it manifests itself through you. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Oh boy, I better stop right here. Terry, praise God. Terry, can you put up a scripture for me, brother? It's gonna be 2 Timothy 1:5. Glory to God. Happy Mother's Day, y'all. Everybody, how many moms are in here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got a bunch. Yeah. Praise God. Happy Mother's Day. I want to read this to you. It says, Paul was sent a letter to Timothy, and this is what he said. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in you also." Grandmas, moms, can I tell you how much of a blessing you are? You are a blessing, and you are to speak in the lives of your loved ones. Amen. And you know, and I just want to address there's some ladies that don't have children. Is that right? Or there's some teenagers that don't have children. Amen. Yeah, amen for that. That they don't. But you know, anytime that you help somebody, you take somebody into your arms and you hug them and you love on them and you speak life into them, girls, ladies, you're a mom. You're a mom, a spiritual mom. Amen. Amen. You know, I tell you, there's a value in spiritual moms, spiritual dads. When I was growing up, my dad had passed away when I was real small. And I was playing football in grade school. And the quarterback, his name was Burton Holland, he called me over. He said, "Dad, my dad wants you to come over to our house to eat tonight." My mom worked at the Dairy Queen. And she worked most of the nights. I said, "Hey, I'm there, man. What are we having?" He goes, "Oh, I don't know, but my dad tells me to tell you to come." I said, all right. When I walked into their house, his dad was in the kitchen cooking something with his wife, I think. I mean, but anyway, he comes out and he looks at me and he comes over and he gives me this big old hug, rubs my head, pushes me around a little bit. And man, just that little bit, I felt this love coming out of him. And every time I'd go to Burton's house, man, it was that same way. He just loved on me. He was like a spiritual dad. I didn't realize it then. I didn't understand what was happening. But something within me was grabbing a hold of that. And ladies, when you do that with young ladies and young men, you speak into their lives, you're being a spiritual mom or a spiritual dad. Yeah. Guys do so. So I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you. All of you. Can all you ladies just stand up? Just stand up just for a second. Everybody, all the ladies, stand up. I'm not asking, I'm telling. Yeah, come on. I mean everybody, all you women. Father, I thank you, Father, for all the ladies. All the women, all the grandmas, the moms, Father, I pray, God, that your blessing of your Holy Spirit in leading and guiding and speaking through them, Father, would be mighty. Mighty women of God, speaking the things of God into the earth, into the those that are around them, Father. I thank you for your blessing on all these ladies, the moms, the grandmoms, and the spiritual moms, in the name of Jesus. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Thank you, moms. Hallelujah. Man, I had a crazy time with the Lord this morning.
Wait a minute. You're speaking about mothers.
What?
And I just wanted to read this, see if I can bring it up again. It says,
A mother's love cannot be treasured, but it's a brilliant gem to be treasured. A mother is often described as a precious gem, symbolizing her rare, invaluable love. I can't see. And unwavering strength and the foundation of the family.
Yeah.
You know, it's in us to be a mother. And I love my kids so much and my grandkids. And I just want to tell all you ladies that you are wonderful and I love you all so much. And you know who else is just like that? Is Jesus. He loves you so much.
Yeah.
And he's just so precious to us.
Amen. Take it with. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Come on. Amen. That's my lovely wife. Chiona, pues. Yeah. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. Yeah, man. Praise God. I was talking to a young lady yesterday that I know that her and her mom haven't been having a good time lately. And I asked her if she was going to speak to her mom. And she goes, I don't think so, because my mom won't speak to me. And I said, well, be blessed. Speak to your mom. Send her a text. Do something. Amen. Amen. Sometimes a kid's got to be the adult. How many say amen to that? Sometimes you got to take that effort to say, hey, I'm going to do this. I love you, and I'm going to take care of you. Amen. So, I mean, hey, call your mom. If you haven't called your mom yet, amen, don't do it now. Praise God. We're going to go into the what God has for me. It's actually not a Mother's Day message, but you can consider a Mother's Day message. Do you know why? Because today's Mother's Day. But I had a good time with the Lord last night, and he just unloaded some stuff on me. And I hope that I can get all the way through this, because I really do believe it's an important part of who we are today. The body of Christ today. We are here on the earth to influence the earth. We are the kingdom of God on the earth, if you guys believe that. And I know that God has so much to say. He's wanting to make things clearer and clearer and clearer. How many like clarity? I want clarity with God. And see, I will tell you, spending time with God will create clarity within you, because God will begin to speak very clearly to you about what he has for you, what's going on, all the questions that you might have. Clarity can come to you. Can you say amen to that? Because God doesn't want you to be walking around just a, I don't know what's going on. He wants you to be in touch. Can you say amen to that? How many of you walk around to, yeah, some, come on. There's not that many hands that went up, but I know there's a lot more than what went up. I'm just kidding. God wants us to be aware of things. Can you say amen? He wants us to be aware that we are born again. Do you understand that? You're born again. Being born again, you have to start over. All things are passed away. All things become brand new. So you start over when you become born again. God begins to, because you're born again, the old person has died. And now God is raising you up by His Spirit. And it's called resurrection life that He's speaking to you. And he called, in the Word of God, it's called revelation. Can you say amen to that? It's not the book of Revelation. It's revelation where God opens things up to you and your heart and your mind. Can you say amen? And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. But one of the things we're going to talk about is sin. How many want to hear about sin today? Yeah. I'm waiting. Come on. Okay, well, let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. And I'm going to tell you, it's Jesus is with His disciples, and He's been ministering. People have been talking about Him. How many know that when you minister, people are going to talk about you? Sometimes what they're saying are good things. Sometimes they're not so good things. Amen? But it doesn't matter. You just keep on ministering. Is that okay? So here in Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to start at verse 13. Can we pray? Let's pray real quick. Father, You gave me. Lord, You filled my heart as I was preparing for this today. Father, make it clear. Father, help me to speak the things that You have for Your people and cause them to hear with their ear, the inner ear, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Father, I don't want to tear anything or anybody up, but God, I desire to build up and strengthen the people of God. So, Father, help. In Jesus' name, I pray for you. Agree, say amen. Say, help him, Lord. He needs help. That boy needs help. Come on. Starting at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." Okay. And He said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "The Son of the living God." What an answer, amen. The Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen? That's a good word right there. "And I will give unto you the kingdom, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then He charged His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Oh boy. He asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And then they said, "Well, some John the Baptist." But then He says to them, He goes, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And what the message is this morning, what God is wanting to hear out of you, if you will, is who do you say that you are? Who are you? Who are you as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? Who are you? What are you? Look at your neighbor and say, "What are you?" Come on, man. Yeah, who are you? Hallelujah. I can tell you one thing. If you're born again, Jesus lives in your heart. You are not a sinner. You are not. You were. Can you say amen? How many say, I was a sinner? Steve, were you a sinner, bro? Come on. Robert, were you a sinner?
Yeah.
Terry, were you a sinner?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Anybody in here wasn't a sinner before you knew Jesus? Tommy, were you a sinner? Come on, man. Were you? Huh. I want to talk sin. The Hebrew word for sin is chata'ah. Look at somebody say that. Chata'ah. Chata'ah. It means an offense. It's from the word chata. To miss the mark and not share in the prize, to err and to sin. That's the Hebrew word. The Greek word is hamartano. Look at your neighbor, say hamartano. Nice words. Hamartano. This is the Greek word. And it means to miss the mark and so not to share in the prize, to err and to sin. Okay. Did we miss? It's okay. It's all right, bro. It's okay. The Greek word is hamartano, and the Greek and the Hebrew word is chata'ah, an offense, to miss, to sin, to forfeit. They're both, the Greek and the Hebrew, mean to miss. Didn't quite make the mark. Is that okay? Sin causes us to miss the mark that Christ has called us into. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is a statement that comes from the Lord. That all have sinned. Everybody has sinned. Where do we get it from? Adam and Eve. Thank you, Adam. Amen? Thank you, Eve. And then thank you, Adam. Thanks a lot, Eve. Yeah. Happy Mother's Day, Eve. Yeah, come on, man. leave her alone, they said. Come on, man. Yeah. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Everybody. The whole planet. 1 John 3:4 says this, what is sin? Whosoever commits sin transgresses the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. See, sin is a transgressing. It is almost like, you can say degressing, but transgressing is kind of a moving backwards, where God doesn't want you moving backwards. He wants you to progress. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know about Him. He wants you to know the things that He has for you, the things that He has for those around you. He wants you to know them, and He wants you to progress. But sin has a tendency to stop that. Can you say amen to that? Sin is a block. Sin is not good for us. Can you say amen? Yeah, that should be a hearty amen. Yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. And I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Can you say amen? But I will tell you, sin has a way of showing up in little tiny areas we're not even ready to receive yet, because it shows up and we go, oh, that's contrary to the kingdom of God. Anything that transgresses the law or transgresses the thought of God Himself is sin. Can you say amen to that? The Bible has some crazy things to say about what sin is. One place it says anything that is not of faith, it's sin. Whoa. That's a hefty word. Can you say amen to that? But yet it's in the Word of God, because God wants us to progress and not transgress. And He has positioned you to progress if you're a Christian, if you believe what Jesus has done for you. This is cool. Romans chapter 6, 23 says this, the wages of sin is death. Is that right? Let's just look at that for a minute. The wages of sin. How many of you work? Well, how many don't work? How many have a job? Because you work, you receive what? wages. It's because, you know, that's, thank God, that's the way of life. Amen? That when you work, when you do something, you get money. You get paid for it. Is that right? Well, you get paid for sin. Is that crazy? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, it says here, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is that okay? I mean, just say this to you. When you first believe that Jesus died on a cross for you, when you first believed Jesus paid, received your wages. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? He received your wages for sin. He received them, took them to the cross, and gave you eternal life. Is that cool? Ooh, I'll tell you what. What a way to live.
Yes.
Amen. For this cause, for God so loved the, you remember that? Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. I want you to look at this scripture. The Bible. Hey, Jose, is that you? Wait a minute. Forgot your name. Juan, that's it. Yeah, Juan. I thought it was Juan. Hey, Juan, good to see you, man. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear." God can save, and he can hear. Is that right? He can hear your prayers. He says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you." This is Isaiah talking. This is Isaiah proclaiming the word of God. Sin has separated us from God. Can you say amen? That's what happened to us. We were separated from God, going our own way. Sin separated us from God. If you remember that, you remember in the tabernacle. I'm going to make this really long because I keep getting things. Remember in the tabernacle, they would go into the holy place. And then there was called the most holy place where that the Ark of the Covenant was. You guys remember that? There was a curtain that was in between those two. That, the scripture, when it says here, the middle wall of partition, he's talking about that curtain that was there. Sin separated you. So if you remember them, they couldn't go into that holy and holy but once a year. They could only go in once a year to offer blood on the sacrifice for the sins of the people once a year. Remember showing that they tied a rope on the guy and put a bell on the priest that went in there to pour the blood, just in case he quit moving. They said, just keep shaking that bell as you go in there. I'm sure already he was already shaken. Because God, if he goes in there without blood over his own life, God's gonna do something. He's gonna probably kill him. They'll have to drag him out with a rope. So he was tied up, and he'd go in there. But see, what Jesus did on the cross, that middle wall of partition has been removed from you. You can go right to him right now, unobstructed. He can hear you. You can just, all you gotta do is go say, "Father, I'm calling on you." He died for you. He cares about you. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. There's no more separation between us and God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "He is our peace who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us." He is our peace, and he broke down that wall. Cool? Oh, beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Just look at this. Just picture this story. Picture it in your mind. And I will tell you, this is a serious, serious story. It is something that happened in the life of Jesus that Matthew recorded. And this is really serious. Okay, so check this out. It says, "Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, that's bad enough, is that right? But now in a public place, people around listening to Jesus, Jesus, the holy man that everybody's talking about, that has been healing people and all sorts of miracles, they bring her to him, put her right in the midst, and they say to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? They were trying to trap him, and they were using this poor woman as bait. And this is a serious thing, because you see that what they said, this is what the law says, Jesus. We caught her in the very act. She needs to be stoned. It's a very serious moment. And they said to him, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he didn't hear them, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, he that is without sin among you, cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. Here's the Lord. Here is the one person that could condemn her. She was caught in the act, and he knew it. They knew it. She knew it. Isn't the mercy of God beautiful? Isn't it beautiful that he would say to them, okay, first one that throws a stone, let's say, if you don't have a sin, go ahead and throw it. And I'm sure that while he was on his, when he was down on his knees, writing on the ground, I'm sure he was writing, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I believe he was writing things down, and these guys are looking, and they go, whoa, I'm going to drop my rock right here and walk away. Because he said, he that doesn't have a sin can throw the first rock. So you see, this was before he died. So the whole world was captured with sin. Do you understand that? It was something that they knew that they had to get a sacrifice for and take it to the priest and let him sacrifice it for him so that sin could be removed. Folks, do you understand how important that sin is removed from us? Do we really realize what sin is? It needs to be removed. And there's only one that can do it. His name is Jesus. Not Muhammad. Not Baha Ali. Not Muhammad Ali. Come on, bro. Just Jesus. The only one. John 3:16-17 says this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn him, but that the world through him might be saved. Can you go back to the scriptures you read before? See, God sent his Son into the world. Can you say amen? I just want to say this to you, I need you to think about this. Jesus paid for the sins for the whole world. Not everybody. Nobody excluded, everybody included. Jesus paid for their sins. The whole world right now, if they would believe, all the sins are gone. If they would believe. Isn't that crazy? It's a free gift. It's free to you to be forgiven. It's free to you that all your sins be washed away. It's free, but not without a price. The blood of Jesus is what takes it away. Can you say amen? Oh my God. Oh my God. Going back to the story, it says, and again he stooped down, rolled on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted up himself, I love this. He said to the woman, woman, where are those your accusers? Has no man condemned you? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. And I love these last few words. Go and sin no more. See, I was raised Catholic, and I hope I don't offend anybody about it, but it's important that you understand what God is saying about sin. I was raised Catholic. And being Catholic, I was taught as a young man, as an altar boy, that every Friday night I had to go to church and I had to go into what they call the confessional. And I had to confess my sins. And the priest inside, when I was done confessing my sins, all 3,426 of them, he would tell me, okay, you pray this many Hail Marys, this many Our Fathers, and I would go out and I would pray that many. And I would tell you what, there was a bunch of times where I didn't count how many. I just prayed, played, and got up and left. And so I really didn't get the whole deal. Can you say amen? I don't know. That's just the way it was. That's just the way I was raised. And I didn't understand it. But I want you to know this, that being a Catholic, I mean, hey, I love God. I really do. I really did. But I just didn't learn the things that I needed to learn. I wasn't taught to read the Bible. I was taught to listen. Sit in there and listen. Keep your mouth shut. Okay, and sit and listen. That's what I was taught. So I didn't know. And what I didn't realize, and now being a Christian, being a pastor of a church, being somebody that God has called to build up the body of Christ, I didn't realize what I was looking at, and I see it today so very clearly, that it is the Catholic Church, and there's a lot of other churches claiming to be Christian churches that actually hold the advancement of the people within what they're teaching. You understand that? They're holding them from progressing because they are bringing what they call, remember those guys that dropped their rocks? Where did they get convicted at? Where at? In their what? Their conscience. Their conscience told them, you're a sinner, remember? You got to buy a line. Their conscience told them they were a sinner. Conscience is it needs to be cleansed. It needs to be washed. So I realize what the Catholic Church is doing. And look, let me just say this. I got to tell you this. I love the Catholic Church. I was raised in the Catholic Church. They taught me about God. The Word of God, when I got saved, the Word of God began to teach me even further. What should I say? Progress me into the things of God. It progressed me. So when I see what's happening, I can see it so clearly, folks. They're holding back their people. They might not be doing it on purpose, but they're holding back their people from progressing because they allow a sin consciousness to exist in their people. God doesn't want you with sin consciousness. He wants you to have a clear conscience with God. Is that okay? A clear conscience, good God. Paul the Apostle said, I serve God with a clear conscience. You see, the Catholic Church they are practicing almost the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament there had to be a sacrifice done, and they had to go and confess their sins over, and that's what they're doing. They are keeping the people from progressing by not teaching them The freedom. Thank you. Isn't that crazy? And I see in a lot of churches, they might have the same 10 people in it. Okay? And they preach a message and they got to have an altar call. Giving an altar call. What are you doing? What are you really doing? You're saying that you are sinners. And you're not. You are bought with a price, and God has washed away your sins. The day you gave your heart to Him, He gave you eternal life. Amen. It's a beautiful exchange, and you're in it. Amen. And you need to get rid of the sin consciousness. You know, sometimes people don't want to do anything because they, whatever. You realize that God has washed it away. Don't do it anymore. Can you say amen to that? I will tell you, folks, there's people that lie. There's people that steal. They're in the kingdom of God. They're in the house of God. And they're held by a shame that somebody might find out about it. There's people that are having extramarital affairs, fornicating, pornography, putting on. And God says, I know it all. I seen it all. I paid for it all. Walk away. Change your mind. Change your direction. Repent. Change your mind. Change your direction. Repent. Because God is saying, I want you to progress. Folks, sin in your life today, it's not there. God already paid for it. What it is a distraction to you. Do you understand that? I don't know. A lot of folks don't get it. Well, you're saying they're not sinning when they're doing it. It is. That is a sin. But God washed it away because He knows the end from the beginning. Do you understand that? He knew you from the foundation of the earth. Were you born back then? Did you ride dinosaurs back then? No, He knew you back then, and He knew every sin you were going to commit, and He paid for it. There's not a sin that Jesus didn't pay for. He paid for it all. No matter what span of time it occurs, it was paid for. I'm hoping I'm encouraging you. I'm hoping I'm building you up because that's the truth. God has already paid for your sins. The whole world, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The gospel is the greatest news anybody could ever receive. It's the greatest thing. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:5 says this. You know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. You got that, right? You know that He was born not of man, but of God. You know that. The Holy Spirit placed a seed within Mary, and she became pregnant. And that seed is the Word of God that we know. Is that right? His progenitor, He didn't come through man. He came by God. God sent Him. God brought Him here. And He had no sin. See, if He had sin, there's no way He could pay for anybody else's sin. Why? Because He had sin of His own. He could only pay for His sin. But He had no sin, so He paid for your sin. Is that okay? Isn't that good? Oh, you... Folks, listen, this is probably basic 101 for a lot of you, amen? But let me just say this, it has to be understood, revealed, and understood well. Because God is bringing us into a time where there's going to be people that are coming to you, and they're going to need the answer, and you're holding the answer. And if you're looking at somebody, say, well, yeah, I don't think God takes drug addicts. Oh, yeah, He does. Oh, yes, He does. Oh, yes, He does. I think there's a song that we sang this morning. This part I was looking at is part of this. And it said, oh, yes, He does. He does forgive. Anybody that will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that right? Hallelujah. He came to take away sin. John chapter 8, verse 9. They were convicted by their own conscience. I want to talk to you about your conscience. They were stuck in the law. because Jesus hadn't died for them. So they were stuck in love. Do you realize that faith really wasn't operating until Christ came? Is that okay? Are you all right with that? Now, there's a lot of apostles. I mean, there's a lot of prophets and King David and Solomon and all those guys. They were operating on man's faith, on the faith of man. Can you say amen? It's a whole different thing. It's just basically all it is believing. It's that kind of deal with God. They believed God and he counted it to them for what? Righteousness. It's just believing. They believed God. And God said, man, I need you to believe me. How many say amen to that? I was telling somebody the other day, I had some bad sinus infections and everything. And I couldn't smell nothing. Anybody ever had a sinus infection? I couldn't smell nothing. And all I could smell was something that wouldn't smell so good. But I went down to my mom's house and my mom was all happy. She goes, go smell my roses. They're beautiful. And they were very beautiful, but I couldn't smell a one of them. I got in one of those roses' face, and I tried, can't smell nothing. Hallelujah. And the Lord says something to me, Henry, I paid for that. Ooh. Yeah. I said, well, God, what do you want me to do? He says, believe me. Oh, yeah. Well, I believe you. Well, I paid for it. Well, yeah, God, I believe you. No, I believe you. You need to believe me that I paid for it. Oh, it hit me, and I've never had another sinus infection since. And with a snot like mine? Yeah. I can smell everything. Oh, man. Don't make fun of my nose. All right, I just want you to know. But see, there was a capture. The people were captured at that time. Their conscience was held them captured. You understand that? I want you to look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. I want you to see this. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should be afterwards be revealed. When we read in the TPT, it says it this. But before faith came, see that faith? Before it came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should be afterwards revealed. Is that the TPT, Terry? Okay. You see how they were captured. They were actually captured by their conscience when their conscience had roots in the law. Is that okay? The law told them, you can't do these things, you can't do these things, and they would do them once in a while. So they knew that they were sinners. So they're captured by their conscience. Being captured by your conscience is not a very good thing. Paul said it, I love it when Paul said, I have a clear conscience today with God. I operate in a clear conscience. Do you operate in a clear, or is there things in the back of your head, or would you say in your heart, you say, oh God, I gotta get rid of this. How do I get rid of this? He say, amen. Folks, God has us on we are on a building journey. We are growing in Christ. Can you say amen to that? You've got to grow. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 says this. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Do you see where it says and for sin? What's he talking about when he said and for sin? He's talking about, you know, I ask you a question, then I won't let you answer. Anyway, he's talking about what the law could not do. See, Jesus came to do what the law couldn't do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, man, I'm getting excited. I don't know if you... It's like I'm back in my bedroom last night.
Come on,
Lord. Hallelujah. Get me all fired up. I said, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin. That "and for sin" stands for that he came to do what the law couldn't do. "And for sin" condemned sin in the flesh. He came for sin, and he came to do what the law couldn't do. What couldn't the law do, you might ask? Well, I'm going to tell you. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1, 2, and 3 says this. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." Bam! What a word, eh? Just cannot make you perfect. The law could not make them perfect. Why couldn't it make them perfect? Because of conscience. The conscience was holding the people captive. Oh. "For then would they not have ceased to be offered?" If they were perfect, if their conscience could be cleared, now they don't have to offer anymore because they got no more sin conscience. Do you understand what it's saying? Folks, it's talking to us because this is where we're at. We're right here. No offerings are needed no sacrifices are needed to be offered anymore because our consciences should be clear. Is that okay? They don't need to be offered. He says, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more, what? Conscience of sins. But there in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins. And here you go. This looks like the Catholic Church right here. This looks like some churches that keep calling people, come on up to the altar. You need to get saved. Come on, man. It says, "But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance again made of sins every year." Isn't that crazy? You see, we have a conscience that's being cleared and cleaned if we allow it. The Holy Spirit is here to do that. The Bible calls it the washing of water by the Word. Is that all right? Is there any more on that, Barry? Again, John chapter 1, verse 3. I mean, first John chapter 3, verse 5 says this: "In him is no sin. He died for our sins." Okay? So he washed us of our sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 14 says this: "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice forever." Is that right? How many sacrifices?
One.
One for what? How long is forever? Long, pretty long time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it? Could you say it's everlasting?
Yeah.
One sacrifice forever. For sins forever. Sat down at the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool.
Yes.
You see, God is expecting something from us. Can you say amen? You know, the gospel is free. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
But see, God does expect something from us. Is that right?
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to just get saved or just give your heart and say, "Well, God, I give you my heart," and walk away and go do whatever you want. Is that okay?
No.
That's not him.
No.
That's, you didn't get saved. You're more into you than you are into him. Is that okay? How many of you ever known anybody that's more into you, more into themselves than anybody else? That's the way I used to live. I wanted to spend my money. I wanted to be in control. I wanted to drink. I wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. And didn't matter who anybody else say anything. When I got saved, I don't drink no more. When I got saved, my wife does my money. She takes care of my money because I give money like crazy. Is that okay? Is that right, Rose? She goes, I say, "Why don't you give me some cash?" She don't know. Because if you get cash, you give it away. I said, well, hey, man, because, you know, anyway. I You know, how many know that money is a tool?
Yes.
It's a tool. It's something that, you know what, it's not for you. It's for you to use to help people. Is that right? That's the way the kingdom is. I was telling my nephew, I said, look, Mio, God is wanting to invade your business. Did I tell you that, Mio? God is wanting to invade your business. Business. He wants to, whatever you're doing, whoever you are, whatever things that you do, God wants to invade it with his kingdom. And I told him, Mijo, look, check it out. This is how it's going to work. I'll give you an example. You're working on 30 cars a month. Pick a figure, $200. Is that what I told you to do? $200. Take one car per month and fix it for free. And show them the bill. Let them see what it would have cost them. Well, it would have been $200 or whatever and some change or whatever. And I guarantee you, when you begin to do that, you're going to get blessed. And then before you know it, you're going to do 3 cars a month. I'm going to pay for it. Before you know it, I'm going to pay for a car that has to be paid for by $1,500. I'll do it free for a month or whatever. And you begin to allow the kingdom of God to saturate your business. This is what God is after. Because you're doing for others rather than for yourself. Can you say amen to that? It's a simple thing. God desires that you use everything that you have for him in this kingdom. And you watch. It's a blessing. It's not going to hurt you. He's not going to let your well go dry if you're giving. But stop giving and watch how quick it dries up. Can you say amen to that? I've only got $20 left in my whole thing. Well, give it away, bro. Go find somebody to give it to that needs it as much as you do. And you watch what God will do, because this is the way the kingdom of God operates. It says, give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall it be poured back on you. Can you say amen to that? See, it's something that we got to take a hold of. We got to understand. And how do you understand these things? Your conscience gets cleared. Your conscience gets cleared. You're clear. You're going to say, well, no. My conscience is saying, no, I can't give. I need the money for my bills. Now, you know what? Who cares about your bills? I'll tell you who cares. God cares. And he'll pay them if you'll just, hey, take it easy. Let God do what he wants to do in your life. Is that okay? God, I don't know how I got off of that. Somebody, mijo, do what we talked about. Do what we talked about, mijo. Watch God open that thing up like crazy. You'll see the blessing of the Lord. And you'll give him glory and you'll thank him for it. Your kids will understand it. This thing that I'm going to this prestigious college someplace because my dad opened up to the Lord and the kingdom of God in his business. Is that okay? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Oh. This man, after he had suffered for sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the Father, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. I want you to know, what is you? Who are you? Who are you? What do you say about yourself? What is it that you say about who you are? It says right here, you've been perfected. Do you tell people that? I'm perfect. I'm perfect. But it's not I. Let me take you there. I had a friend in church. His name was Bob. I'm going to tell you his last name. But he would tell me, he says, Brother Henry, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. And I'm telling Bob, no, you're more than that. Nope. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I said, Bob, bro, no, Bob. Bob, God is doing something. You're a a man of God. You're saying, I'm just a sinner, Saban. See, now I don't know if that's humility or just he just wants to stay in that position. But folks, we can't stay in that position. Can you say amen to that? You have to progress. God wants you to progress. Check this out. John, 1 John chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 4. I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says this. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You see that word? As he is, so are you. As he is, so are you. Come on, I'll tell you. If Christ dwells in you, you are a loving person. Can you say amen to that? Look at your neighbor. Look at your mom. Look at whoever's next to you. Say, I am a loving person. Tell them that. Tell them that. I'm a loving person. What did they say? Yeah, right. Yeah. Only when you get your way. Yeah, yeah, I love it. Yeah, right. No, you know what? No, this is who you are. It's Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 20 says this. Chapter 2, verse 20. I'm sorry. It was late last night. Chapter 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, there's a testimony right there for you. I have been crucified in the flesh. I was crucified with Christ. But now I live, and the life that I now live, is this your testimony? Is this something you should be saying? Are you absolutely right, you should be saying. You should be saying things to, I am crucified with Christ. When that thing that used to bother you, when that you sticky fingers. You got sticky fingers. You walk into the store and you say, this is okay. They won't miss it. You got sticky finger. When that begins to bother you, you say, hey, no. I am crucified through Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I that live. Christ lives in me. How many of you know that you got to fight fire with fire? Is that right? Can you fight fire with fire? Yeah, you can. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this. Check this one out. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? And the Spirit of God dwells in you. Go tell the lady at the Safeway, I'm the temple of God. What do you think? Yeah. I am the temple of the living God. Sounds so weird. Make you feel weird, eh? Everybody around you gonna look at, yeah, you're weird, girl. Nevertheless, is this your testimony? You see, I'm a temple. This is the temple of the living God. God dwells in here. Is that right? And the temple is important to God. Come on. You got to know. The temple is important to God. He wants you portable. He wants you able to get up, get down. He wants you to be able to work. He wants you to be able to do the things that you want to do. He wants you to do the things that he has for you. And he wants you healthy. Can you say amen to that? And you could have a clear conscience by saying, God, by your word. Not by what I think, it's by your word. I died, God. I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. And now I live by your faith, not my faith, your faith. That's the faith that was opened up to us when Christ came. It was his faith. Man's faith is nothing, but God's faith, it creates universes. Isn't that crazy? That's the faith he put in you. It's a creative faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says this. Now this is a place where I know that God is trying to get us to understand. Do you know that the whole world, the whole creation is standing how, Tommy? How's it standing? The whole creation is standing on tiptoe. Is that right? Is that tiptoe? The whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of God within you. You understand that? What's going on around us? It's going around. It does. Sometimes it don't look so good, but it's because the body of Christ is still holding back, maybe with some sin consciousness or whatever. But what if they're holding back from allowing God to shine through them and do through them what He wants to do? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We are hindering the work of God in the earth if we're doing things the way we want to do it and not the way He wants to do it. John 1, verse 12 says this, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now I want you to look at this. This is a three-part scripture. John has broken it down for us in three parts. To as many as received him. Number one, you got to receive him. You got to say, God will receive you.
Yes.
And then to them gave he power. I'm going to tell you the Holy Ghost. Do you know that next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday? Ooh-wee. I can't wait. I can't wait. I got something brewing. And I don't even know what it is.
Praise God.
Whoa. I pray in tongues. Folks, you guys know, you guys might not know this, but this is a Pentecostal church here. Do you know that?
Amen.
Yeah, you know, and you know what? I love praying in tongues. I pray as much as I can because the Bible says building up your faith in by the Holy Ghost, by praying in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. When you see something going on, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. When you don't see something going on, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. When you're awake, pray in the Holy Ghost. When you're asleep, pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, pray in the Holy Ghost. I told my... Look at, I got 5 minutes. That says 11:55. I'm not running over. Okay. Everybody check your watches. I got 5 minutes. I fell asleep in the truck one day. I had just got through talking to the church and I told the church, I never asked God to make me a pastor. I didn't want to be a church pastor. I said, man, no, that scares me. Is that right? Too much for that. And I told the church that. I said, that morning, I said, I never asked God to make me a pastor. I only told the Lord, I'll do whatever you want. And whatever you want me to do. That's what I told him. I did tell him that, and I do remember. But on the way home, I fell asleep. And Rosie said, I wasn't driving. Rosie was driving. I fell asleep while she was driving. And I woke myself up praying in tongues. Did anybody ever do that? You ever wake yourself up praying? See, that's a beautiful thing. Your spirit is praying. See, your spirit doesn't get tired. Is that right? Yeah. I woke up and I looked at Rosie. I go, she goes, yeah, you were speaking in tongues. I said, cool. I started to go back to sleep, but see, the Lord had something He wanted to tell me. He says, He said this, no, you didn't ask for it, but you prayed for it. When you pray in the Spirit, you pray for things that you don't even know. That's why I say I got something brewing. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going to happen next week. But I know that the Holy Spirit is saying, look, it's a celebration of the day that I came into the earth to come into man. And I believe, I pray that this church will begin to receive a fire like it has never seen before. Because let me just say this to you. Let me tell you, God has called us to progress. There's only one way that I know to progress. He said, not by might, it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit, saith the Lord. That's the only way to progress. We have been seeing in this church, we have seen a funds a dwindle. Is that right, Tommy? We've been watching our funds going, doof, 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 doof. Can I tell you why? Because God's getting ready to do something crazy. He's getting ready to do a move like we haven't seen before. And we're going to see things bust open. See, because this church gives when it can. I don't like that word, when I can. Do you? I don't like it. I'm going to give when I can. Duh. Nope. It's never going to happen. Because you're always going to say, you can't. You can't. You just say, take this as an offering, as a time of offering for you. There's a pink box back there. Is that pink? Yeah. There's a pink box back there, folks. Blessing comes through the kingdom way of doing things. You do it the way the kingdom does it, you're going to see blessing. If you try to figure things out and make it really technical, guess what you're going to do? You're going to boggle it down. You're going to shut it down. Do it the way the kingdom does it. Give and it shall be given to you. Press down, shaking together and running over. When you pray in the Spirit, pray that God would have his way in this house. We're getting ready to have a ladies' thing. When is that? Next week? Is it next week? Friday. Friday and Saturday. Friday and Saturday. And man, I can feel it coming. I can feel these things coming. Ladies, if you're not planning on coming, I would say change that plan. I would say get in here, because the Holy Spirit wants to do something in your life. I'm guaranteeing it. I am telling you, get in, because God wants to do something in your life, ladies. Amen. Hallelujah. Guys, pray in the Spirit. Woo! This is a Pentecostal establishment here. We are non-denominational. And you know, there are denominations of non-denominations. Is that right?
We're evangelists.
But folks, listen. I listen. When folks are praying, I listen. I don't hear a lot of praying in the Spirit. I don't know if people are afraid to, or if they're scared to do it or whatever, or if they just don't do it. I don't hear a lot of it. We pray a lot out of our own mindset. And I will say it over and over again. What is better? What is better? To pray the way you, in your own words, or to allow him to pray through you in his words? What's better? What is better? It is better that you let him pray. Glory to God. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by his Spirit. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. It takes the power of God to transform you into the Son of God. Into a son of God. Do you know that? It takes his power, the Holy Ghost, coming within you and transforming your life to where now you are a son of the living God. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. And you're allowing him to do at his will, not my will, Father, but thy will be done. You're allowing him to do his will in you, and you're going to see great things. You're going to see the things that you've never seen, that you never expected. You're going to see them. So who do you say you are? Who do you tell the world? Well, I'm a Christian. Well, what does that mean? I hope they ask you that. You say, well, I am more than a conqueror. I am the head and I'm not the tail. I am above and I'm not beneath. I am blessed and not cursed. I have the blessing of God on my family.
Yes. Amen.
I will live and not die.
Thank you.
I will live and not die, because I have eternal life. And the life that I now live, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. What are you going to say when somebody says, who do you say that you are? Who do you say that you are? It's quick and easy to say, well, I'm a Christian. See you later. Bye-bye. hey, somebody asks you about the faith, just give it to them. Let it out. Pour it on them. If they ask. Amen. You don't have to be jumping people. Can you stand? You don't have to be jumping people. Saying, hey, buddy, get saved or go to hell. No, don't, that doesn't work. That is not the way the Holy Ghost does it. It could be where you say, hey, you want to escape. You know. How many of you know that hell is a real place? How many know that? The Bible talks about it. Jesus talked about it. It's there. And it's for those that reject the what God has done with His Son. That's what that's for. But for y'all, you have an inheritance here on this earth. Do you say amen to that? Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Father, that God, what spoken today, Father, would touch and minister to those and build them up and strengthen them, Father God. Father, help us to convey the gospel message, the greatness of the gospel, just through loving people and doing what You would have us to do and what You would have us to say while we're loving people. Father, would You do that for our body? Would You do that for the body of Christ on the earth? Would You do that, Father, for the kingdom of God? I know You will. I thank You for it. Strengthen those that need strength. Heal those that need health. Speak to those that need instruction and discernment. Speak to those, Father, that need wisdom. Lead them and guide them by Your Spirit, Father. I thank You for it this morning. And I give You all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 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 Praise God. Thank You for coming to church this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sin no more. There you go. That's a good word right there, man. Yeah. Sin no more.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.